Time to recap McCook City Council from last night, their second meeting for the month of August. Let's get right to it. City Manager Nate Schneider, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing, Rich?
Doing good. Doing good. Councilman Gene Wheaton in the house this morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Gene and I are in the same boat. Our baseball teams are going absolutely in the toilets here in the last couple of weeks.
They've won three in a row now.
I knew you were going to say that, but the Royals in their hand won four in a row. Well, you know, if we could schedule the White Sox for a weekend.
It was four in a row. That's right. The White Sox really helped a lot.
But you beat the Rangers last night. That was just a solid win.
Yeah, that's a good win.
Yeah. So Gene and I are getting ready. We're just moving the baseball season aside. We're going on
football.
Exactly right. All right. We'll start first last night's agenda. Announcements, recognitions, anything there?
Mayor Taylor had an announcement. She just wanted to state that she's been contacted by a national media outlet regarding a potential detainment facility being located in Red Willow County, and she wanted to make sure that everybody understood that any of those inquiries need to be made to the state of Nebraska, not to the city of McCook.
That doesn't happen very often, does it?
It does not happen very often, no. So,
all right. Any other announcements, recognition?
There was nothing.
Consent agenda, anything pulled for discussion there?
No, but there is one item I want to point out, Rich, that we did approve the drawings and specification for the PFC Gerald Errol Walters Youth Sports Complex infrastructure. So we're moving forward on that. So and Nate will give us an update a little later on the sports complex, but we did approve the infrastructure that would be the streets and the sewer and water out there. So we put it out there for bid so people can bid to do it. So we're moving forward.
You know, and one more thing I wanted to point out. I know we talk about the sports complex a bunch. The airport's been receiving a lot of attention here recently as well, too. And the council approved a resolution last night to execute a grant with the State Department of Transportation Aeronautics Division to allow for the commencement of the construction of the new self-serve fueling station. So that'll be both jet and then also 110. And so we're going to be able to go ahead and have those stations available for pilots when they're coming into McCook. It should make our airport more attractive, make it a little bit easier for us to be able to serve them. Just really excited for this project to move forward. And we really appreciate W Design's help. The state of Nebraska's help and assistance. It's been a team effort. We had some issues here this past year as far as our FBO filing bankruptcy, and this got pushed to the forefront as far as needed items, and we really appreciate the state of Nebraska working with us on this to go ahead and push this up to the front.
Are they going to get after this right away or wait till the spring or when?
I don't recall. I would assume probably springtime, but I got to go back through and take a look at that. So it'll be fairly quickly, though. And that's one of the things right now. We're still kind of working through the budget items. We've been operating with a contract with the fueling operators out there since November of 2024. Mm-hmm. And so we're still kind of working through some of those issues for this year's budget. And so we'll probably continue to do that until we find a new FBO, but we're going to make sure that we've got the ability to provide fuel throughout this entire period. So while we're waiting for construction to occur, we're going to be providing fuel afterwards. We're still going to have people out there to help with the fuel. And then hopefully we find our FBO and we're able to move forward with a new company that's going to be fantastic for our community.
Move on to the regular agenda. Presentation from Emma Castor with the West Central Nebraska Development District.
Well, basically, which all this is that this regards to properties in the designated area that they're covering right now that should be declared a nuisance, properties that should be rescinded from previous declaration of nuisance, and properties that needed abatement. Basically, so all these ordinances that follow or basically that's all we did. So we just go through and Emma just talked about, you know, here's ones that, you know, she talked about the number of letters that have been sent out, here's how many properties have been cleaned up, here's what we need to do. So but we just then the all the next ordinances basically just we just approved those also.
That took care of A, B, C, D, and E.
Yeah, that knocked out quite a few of the agenda items. So
we appreciate what Emma does because they're doing a great job and it's helping us to clean up our community.
Report from Charlie McPherson of the MEDC on regarding LB 840 loans.
He just wanted to make sure to report to the council. So our LB 840 program
It has a loan committee that determines which loans to make, which loans not to make. They do it based upon sound financial knowledge. They make sure that they use the LB 840 funds in a way that's going to benefit the community and make us comfortable that that money is going to get paid back. There is one loan that became delinquent and then was in default here in the past couple of months. It's the first one that we've ever had through our LB 840 program. Charlie had mentioned it was Hot Tub Brokers, and so they're going to continue to monitor, watch, do whatever we can. We try to collateralize those dollars as best we possibly can. The one thing with our LB 840 fund dollars through the loan process is a lot of that serves as gap funding, so it's not a primary source of funding. It would be secondary or in some cases in third place to the larger private loans that are being made. And so we can only collateralize so much. And we've never had a default before in the past. And so this is kind of a new one for us. But Charlie said he's going to keep an eye on this. We're going to take a look at that. Watch, you know, how things progress. And then also on our end, you know, we're going to go back through and look at our policies, you know, look at our LB 840 plan, make sure that we've got it as tight as we possibly can make it. We've got Kent Craw and Tim Wiebe and some other people to help us out with that. And so we appreciate their knowledge because, you know, they look at things from a totally different perspective, and we need to have those people involved to make sure that we're keeping the taxpayer dollars as secure as we possibly can.
Next up, update regarding the latest in the sports complex project.
Yeah, so I was gone for the last couple, well, I was gone for a week and a half, but before I left, it was on, I think it was a Tuesday, so I missed my last radio show with you. The Red Willow County Visitors Bureau was actually hearing applications for consideration for a tourism grant. So we had a tourism grant application in for the sports complex, and we were fortunate enough to receive $50,000, and we appreciate the assistance and the consideration of the Visitors Bureau. I think this project is going to be a game changer in terms of economic activity. When you start talking about tourism, the big code word, and we were talking about this a little bit before we got on the air, sports tourism. Parents follow their kids around. You know, I did it when my kids were playing basketball or playing sports. All parents do that when they've got kids. And there's a lot of money that gets spent. And so when you start talking about an eightplex that's going to be able to house whichever kind of tournament you possibly want to have, you know, softball all the way up to 18 and under, baseball all the way up to 12 and under, you're talking about a lot of people coming to our community. You're going to need hotels, you're going to need restaurants, you're going to need new retail establishments. And those are all going to be dollars that are coming from outside of McCook, being brought into McCook. And we've actually done a couple of studies. We were fortunate. I was very glad to have the sports feasibility companies and Mammoth on the phone, or I guess it was a Zoom call while we were having our presentation the other week, because they were able to go through the feasibility study. They were able to go through the pro forma, explain what we think that this is going to do for the city of McCook. And sports feasibility companies is a very well-respected firm that really specializes in conservative estimates with respect to what a sports complex can do. And Mammoth had told us when they brought them in, they said, we really like these guys because they're very conservative. But if you start looking at what this means for us over the course of a 5 to 10 year period of time, you're talking about $5 to $7 million of injection of cash from just a sports tourism perspective. And so you're going to need to have hotels. You're going to need to have restaurants. You're going to need to have these things. And what that brings along with additional development, who knows? I mean, you know, does it bring in, you know, a truck stop? Does it bring in all these different things along the north side of town that we've been dreaming of for all these years? It very well could. And so that's what we're excited about. And we appreciate the fact that the Red Willow County Visitors Bureau sees that vision, that they were willing to go ahead and make that grant of $50,000. And then we also, we've received word, I think the other day, that we received a $10,000 grant from Burlington Northern Santa Fe. So we appreciate that. We've got a lot of grant applications out right now. We've got Jessica Bortner tied to the desk, so that way she can go ahead and keep writing those grants, but she's doing a great job for us. And then Kyle had mentioned that as far as the field drawings, we made a couple of revisions, but everything had been vetted by both the high school and then also the college to make sure that they were comfortable with it. I know they talked about pitching lanes and stuff like that. And so making sure that it's going to be usable for everyone. Mammoth was out this last Wednesday to kind of go through those things. I know Kyle's guys, and I think Easton, and I think John, and Mike, I think they took a look at everything and gave them their 2 cents. And so I think we got a good set of drawings. Kyle had mentioned last night at the meeting that they were finishing up with the dirt work, and you can see probably concrete getting poured here fairly soon. And then they'll start rolling the carpet here fairly soon as well, too. So they're moving pretty fast on this project.
So everything's on schedule?
To the best of my knowledge. I never say that because I said that with the swimming pool. With the swimming pool, I thought they had told us May, and it actually turned out to be July. So I'm don't hold me to anything because right. I don't do the construction side. But I think that we are doing very well.
Well, the winter months obviously probably slow things down a little bit.
A little bit. They'll do a lot of the vertical construction during the winter months. That's kind of their game plan. So,
all right. Next up,
one more thing. Yes, I guess Kyle also mentioned. Okay, right now we have one full soccer field that will be turf, and then we're also planning, I think, is it one that will be to the south that will be just grass? But I think Kyle mentioned last night that. The two small, the turf one that they marked off smaller so you can go crossways so more games can be played instead of using the full soccer field. There'll be two smaller ones, so that change was made also. I just wanted to bring that out that so for your soccer fans out there, there are going to be soccer fields and et cetera.
And that's important to note. I mean, it's not just baseball and softball. We brought in a couple of experts, Stacy Blomstead being the chief amongst them, a Division I soccer player.
I didn't know that.
She played Division I soccer at BYU. So, So anyway, she's been helping us out with this process, kind of guiding us, saying, hey, because I'm not a soccer expert. Mm-hmm. I don't believe Kyle is, even though he's been confused, I think, a couple of times with Pele in the past.
Oh, my gosh.
From an athletic, we're very grateful to have her insight because she does a really good job. And trying to make everything multi-purpose, but also making sure that it fits the specific sports, that's kind of a tricky thing, and that's where we need the experts like Stacy, the Lance Gillens of the world, those kinds of people to help us out with it because we don't know everything that they know.
All right, sports complex coming along really, really nicely.
Yeah, it's coming along.
Ordinance providing for the adoption of the budget fiscal year 25-26. This was the first reading, wasn't it?
Right. We have two more readings to go. Right now, basically, we don't have all the information. We don't have our from the county, our assessment values, how much we can collect. We'll get that today, I believe.
It's the 19th. Is today the 19th?
Today is, gosh, you had to look at my phone. It is the 19th.
Hey, we should be getting that information.
There's a calendar
today.
Right behind us. I keep forgetting.
So today we'll get that from the county. And then the other one is our insurance, what it's going to cost us. So when Leanne has all that done, then we can start looking at the next meeting. We'll probably get the second reading. We'll have more information to help us determine our budget for next year.
Last week. And again, I was out, so I appreciated the department heads and Leanne taking the lead on this. We had our budget retreat, and each of the department heads went through, and it was open to the public. You know, everybody's invited to attend all these meetings. If anybody has any questions, feel free to come. We had our budget retreat, and at that meeting, the department heads went through their specific budgets. They highlighted the line items that had changes that were probably, you know, I would call maybe more significant. Sometimes you're going to have small changes, but they really kind of try to emphasize the large changes or the large reductions in some cases. And then also they talk about their capital needs and kind of what to expect in the future. So we actually have 4 discussions regarding our budget. I'm not sure how many other communities do that. Most communities, they'll have workshops and things like that, but they'll pass their budget on the first reading. They'll just go ahead and suspend the rules. We don't do that. We try to be as transparent and open as possible. We do it over 3 readings, and we encourage people to attend because the council isn't going to know what people want unless people show up and say something. So otherwise, we're kind of left to come up with our own assumptions as far as what people want. So
the next reading will be on the 2nd.
Yeah, it'll be the Tuesday. Labor Day, if it's on the 1st, then it'll be on the 2nd. So.
Okay. And that's same with that water department rates and fees, sewer departments, all this.
Yeah.
Same.
So that, yeah, we had done our study here this last year. This is just a continuation. And we had also had on July 21st, we had a special meeting. Chris Miller and David Blau came down just to talk about the needs of the water department. Media replacement, that's $3+ million. We've got vessel repair and replacement that we need to look at. We have got our hypochlorinator that needs to be reviewed and looked at. Our salt duct needs to be reviewed and looked at. It's starting to rust out a little bit, so we need to update that. And then one of the things that we talked about a million times, probably with everyone, I know I've talked about it with you, needing to get a filtration system so that way we can go ahead and eliminate the manganese at the source. A lot of the issues that we have with discolored water, it's because we have some wells that are high in manganese, and when the plant was constructed, probably should have had a filtration system. There wasn't a filtration system. We're trying to figure out how to get a filtration system included out there, but that's a $6 million price tag. So all in all, that's about $20 million out at the water treatment plant, just in upgrades. And then on the wastewater treatment plant side, we've talked about this a lot because we're going to be starting with our project here, I think, in 2026. But that's a $14.5 million project, you know, and that's going to be going from the RBC process to a completely different process. And so just a lot of things that we need to do to make sure that McCook remains a viable town, and water and wastewater, the two most important services that we provide. So we have to invest in that. And the only way that we can do that, the primary way that we do that, is by rates. I mean, we don't have other funds available. Now, we are fortunate right now. We're being considered for a $3.2 million appropriation, thanks to Senator Fisher. She's on the Appropriations Committee. She earmarked, I think there was about 10 different projects in Nebraska, and we were one of them that were fortunate enough to be selected. And so we're hoping that the Senate and the Congress say okay to that, and we get that $3.2 million, and we can put it towards water treatment plant upgrades. But we're constantly looking for grants. We're constantly looking at ways to make sure that we extend the dollar as far as we possibly can. We work with USDA, so that way we can try to get loan forgiveness, low interest to no interest. I mean, those are things that we try to do to make sure that we're getting the best bang for the ratepayer's buck. And so we take that very seriously, and we'll continue to do so. But as part of the process, rates always have to be looked at to make sure that adjustments are made to account for it, because you need to have money in reserve so when these big projects come up, on the wastewater treatment plant side, there's a public component and a private component. So we've got Northland Bank that's serving as our private financier. So if you have more money to go ahead and put towards that project up front, that means you're going to have to borrow less money. You're going to get a more favorable interest rate, all these things that go along with it. So we got to do these things to make sure that we put ourselves in the best position possible, so that way we're not expending more money than what we have to on these projects when they come due.
Is that big project 2026 for this?
Yeah, that'll be a big one in 2026. Yeah. Okay.
Well, the one thing I want to point out to the public is that water, sewer, and trash are all paid for by the fees that we charge the customers for the use. This is called an enterprise fund. We do not take any money out of general funds, and this has helped us to keep our tax levy low. But as you know, as people know, there's inflation. Everything keeps going up and up and up, and we've got to build up a reserve. And so as a result, with the water, I think it's a 10% increase in rates, and then the sewer is an 8%. It's part of world.
Mm-hmm. And we're following the recommendation of PFM. They're our financial advisor. They go through and they say, okay, we're going to extrapolate out your needs, you know, and it's a 5-year. So what we bring to the council is 5 years, but we actually look further beyond 5 years when we're talking about projects. We started talking about the wastewater treatment plant project, I want to say 2019. I think we were talking with Chris Miller about that. So, we need the assistance of a financial advisor, because we need to know how much we need to set aside to do these projects, what the recommended amount should be to set aside, and then also what kind of rate adjustments do we need to make sure that we aren't doing everything all at one time. So, you know, you want to try to avoid those 45-50% increases during the course of a year. We had a couple of years where we had 0% increases, and looking back on that now, probably shouldn't have done that. We probably should have kept up with inflation at a bare minimum. We know better now, and we're going to continue to move forward because, like I said, these are the two most important things that we provide.
Council comments. Anything last night?
There was nothing.
Nothing.
Darcy's birthday.
Oh, yeah. It was Darcy's birthday.
Yeah, somebody said he was 60, and I think he was ready to fight him. I can't remember if it was Harpham or Pat or who it was.
He's 54, right?
He's 54, yeah.
He's closing in.
Yeah.
He's just a youngster.
He's still a youngin'. Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. Again, next council meeting coming up on September 2nd, Tuesday, Labor Day on Monday, so going on Tuesday.
Correct.
So we'll see you guys on the 3rd. Coming up here in a couple of weeks. Hard to believe. Labor Day weekend right
before
around the corner.
You betcha. Football's right around the corner.
There you go. City Manager Nate Schneider, thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Gene Wheaton, good to see you.
Thank you.